compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Hi there, and good morning, and welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show. Here's that number. It's sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters, by the way, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. And emails can go to patrick@relevantradio.com. I got to chuckle. Cyrus, you'll like this one. This person, every so often, someone will intentionally create a return email address. It's not a real email address. And that's pretty obvious right up front. And this is, I guess, somebody trying to pit me against Father Richard Simon. Father Simon said on his show that it's okay to use a phone or tablet to follow Mass, even the Latin Mass. So I'm going to listen to Father Simon. Yeah, once upon a time, there were no paper missiles either.
What?
Yeah. If you listened to me.
That's what you said.
That's what I said. Exactly.
Okay. All right. Did I misunderstand what you said?
I think this person doesn't maybe listen all that well. That'd be my impression, because this is like totally missing the mark in terms of what I said on the show yesterday. It fired up a lot of people. You may remember, Cyrus, we had a ton of phone calls on this one issue. Should people be allowed to use their phones at Mass to follow along? Because there was a guy who, and didn't he shut down his comments on Twitter after a while because there's so many people that were commenting on his Twitter
post? That's right, yeah.
So he, just to recap, and we're not going to dwell on this topic, but just because this little cheeky email came in, I thought I'd mention it. Sir, what I would, or madam, either way, I can't tell if you're a sir or a madam. Go back and re-listen, and you'll hear that what Father Simon had to say on the topic tracks with what I had to say on the topic.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Sometimes I wonder. So that was just a guy posted on Twitter saying, I was irked, distracted by a guy sitting at Mass looking at his phone. And I came over and said, look, you know, use this. He handed him a missalette. And the guy said, no, I'm using my phone. Why are you even telling me this? He said, because you're distracting me. And then the guy said, well, then move. And that was the end of it. So much to my surprise, I didn't think that would be really more than a ripple, but it caused a lot of interest and dozens of emails afterward to that effect. So I guess we'll leave that lay. And if anybody didn't hear that, leave that lie. If you didn't hear it, you can always hear it on the phone. Here's another one that just rolled in. I won't even read it because there are too many people wanting to comment on the iPhone at Mass thing. 888-914-9149. Let's start with some phone calls. We'll go to Bernardo now in San Bernardino. Good connection between your name and the town name. I like that.
Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning.
Quick question here. The fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, and we can get them mixed up, but the gifts, I know there's 7 of them, and the fruits, I'm not sure if there's 9 or 12. It depends on the version of the Bible, but that's one question. The other one is, do we have to have the gifts of the Spirit, like that would be the environment, the roots of the tree and the conditions for the fruits to flourish or to be brought up?
Let me make sure I understand you. Are you asking in a metaphor, like does one act as the roots? Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay, well, why don't we start off by defining what they are? So if we look at fruits of the Spirit, we can see that these are described, first of all, in Scripture, but they also are discussed in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. So the fruits of the Spirit are examples of virtue in the person's life. And when you receive the sacraments, they can grow the fruits of the Spirit, etc. So that would be one way to look at it, that these are different virtues that we are, you know, that we receive as a result of growth in the spiritual life. And other than that, I mean, they're all the virtues are interconnected. So faith, hope, and charity, for example, and all the other virtues that are described, fruits of the Spirit and gifts of the Holy Spirit, are all interconnected. It's not as though one would be necessary. Well, I shouldn't say that. The the faith, hope, and charity are indeed necessary for all the others. And if you want to think of those maybe as the root virtues, but the way St. Paul describes them, for example, in Galatians 5, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit as love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and control. And those would flow from the anterior supernatural gift of charity. Charity is love for God, and then love for neighbor because you love God. So I want to make sure I'm understanding your question exactly.
No, that
is that
sense.
Getting to what you're asking about?
No, it is. It is. And obviously we think of fruit. We think of, you know, you need to have a healthy environment and conditions for them to flourish. But that made sense. And then I guess my last question was, sometimes there's 12, sometimes there's 9. Mm-hmm. And that's just a version of the Bible. It depends which ones we use, right?
I think that's the reason, yeah. Different versions list them differently. So, mm-hmm. you know, if the common way of listing them are wisdom, understanding. We're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, if that's what you're asking about. So wisdom, yeah. Understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. And why don't we revisit the question you asked earlier? So I don't think it would be at all untoward to say that if you have the fruits of the Spirit in your life, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, that it will lead to it, they can assist these other virtues. So wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. So wisdom would be an example of knowing what is the right thing to do in a given situation, to understand things at a deeper level. And this would not necessarily be like infused knowledge, although some of the great saints did receive infused knowledge where God simply gave them direct knowledge of deep issues. Counsel, the ability to give sound, good, helpful, Christ-centered counsel. Fortitude, the courage to bear up under difficulties and to do what you know you should do in a difficult situation. In other words, to face down your fears. We all fear things. And so fortitude is that virtue which enables you to encounter and face down your fears and do something difficult, even though you realize that there's some danger to you. And so on and so forth, if that is what you're asking about.
Yes.
Is that what you're asking about?
Okay. Yes, of course, yes.
Okay.
Okay, well, thank you so much. Appreciate your help, and God bless.
You're
thank
welcome. You. May I give you a recommendation? It's a little
please.
Homework for you
yes.
to do. I would suggest you spend some time with St. Thomas Aquinas. He has a whole treatise on virtues, and within that is included his discussion of the vices, pride, sloth, lust, etc. And have you ever read any St. Thomas Aquinas, Bernardo?
I have, yes.
Okay. So you know how it's structured. It's different from what you would typically expect. He starts with all the objections to his position first, and then he responds to each objection in turn, and then he gives the full explanation. So like when you read, you know, objection one, it would seem that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not very important. I mean, that would be an objection. So as you're reading through it, you're reading the wrong answers for the first mm-hmm. 5 or 6 paragraphs. Then he responds and he shows how each of those objections is untrue. But anyway, the reason I mention it is simply because it's probably the single best treatment or overview of the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit as they're manifested in virtue. So you might want to check that out.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good talking to you. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Ruben in Albuquerque. Good morning, Ruben. I'm told you're 8 years old. Is that right?
Yeah. Remember me when I told you about my sibling?
I think I do. Tell me more.
She was, my mom is pregnant right now with a girl.
Great.
Yeah.
And you're the older brother, yeah. obviously. Are you the only child right now before? Other than this baby on the way, or are there other siblings?
Yes. I'm the only child.
Gotcha. Okay, so I'm ready. Yeah. I'm ready to try to answer your question.
So I know you have some siblings, so I was asking how to take care of some.
How to take care of siblings. Okay. That's a really good question. When is your baby on the way due to be born?
At the end of July.
So you have a little time to prepare. I think it's going to be so much fun. You're going to really enjoy it. So obviously you're old enough now at 8 to do things to help your mom. So let's say time to change the baby's diapers. She could say, Reuben, go into the bedroom and get me a diaper and some wipes. And you can help by doing that. You can help your mom with things like that. You can help your mom. Let's say that she has to get on the phone and talk to somebody, or she's trying to take care of something in the kitchen or somewhere. And you could say, Mom, I'll help you out. I'll play with the baby. I'll talk to the baby so that she won't cry or she won't get fussy. At 8 years old, you're certainly big enough to hold a baby. I bet you're looking forward to that, aren't you?
Yes.
One thing I'll tell you about little babies, you'll learn this in due time, but one thing is true. When they get fussy, if you hold them and sort of move around a little bit, they tend not to get fussy. Yeah. So you could learn how to do that. You could have your mom, when the baby's born, you could have your mom show you, ask her to show you what's the right way to hold a baby. And there is a right way and there's a wrong way. But you want to hold a baby kind of cradled in your arms so that the baby's head is supported by your elbow, well, the inner elbow. And you can just learn how to, you know, shake your arm a little bit or stand up and rock back and forth. And that will make the baby less fussy, usually. You can learn how to do that.
Okay. Yeah.
And then when the baby gets older, you will be a good big brother because you'll watch out for that baby to make sure she doesn't, I don't know, eat something that she could choke on or do something that could hurt her. And then when she gets older, you can protect her if there are any bullies in the neighborhood or anything like that. You'll protect her in that way. You'll teach her things. You can help your mom and dad teach her how to pray, talk to her about God, things like that.
Yeah, we live in a safe neighborhood, so.
Oh, well, that's good. Sounds like you have a great mom and a great dad.
And we have 4 dogs.
4 dogs. Wow.
Yeah.
So you're a busy guy, taking care of all those dogs, aren't you?
Yes.
Is that part of your list of chores every day? Do you have to feed the dogs every day?
Yes.
I bet. Well, I think you're going to be a great big brother, Reuben.
Okay.
All right. Anything else for me today?
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Tell your mom thank you for letting you call. 4 dogs, Cyrus. Did you ever have to feed 4 dogs when you were growing up?
Fortunately, no.
When you were 8?
No, 2 is the max I've ever had, and that felt like a full-time job.
Oh, man. Feeding 4 dogs each day. That's a lot of dog chow.
It's a lot of dog chow. Yeah, that's the dog chow is not what, that's not the problem.
What is the problem?
So anyway, we have all these calls.
Yeah.
We need to get to all these calls.
If the dog isn't housebroken, that's a problem. But if they live outside, no problem. So not of that sort.
4 dogs, small yard.
It's a lot of dogs.
That could be a problem.
A lot of dogs. Well, if they're big enough, maybe Reuben can get a saddle for his birthday and just ride them around the yard.
Poor Reuben.
And he can do that Mexican whistle that you like to do so much on Taco Tuesdays. I could see him doing it. It'd sound a lot higher pitched than the way you do it, but I bet he could do it. Okay.
You're fishing for me to do the whistle.
No. Why would I do that?
I'm not doing it.
I wouldn't.
It's not Tuesday.
Why would I do that? 888-914-9149. How about Sam in Arizona? Hi, Sam.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Happy
I'm a little nervous, so you can stop me rambling anytime.
No problem, Sam. Just a little inside information here. No need to be nervous. It's just you and me talking privately with a couple million people listening to every word you say. That's all. No pressure.
Fantastic. Yeah, well, the problem with Reuben and his 4 dogs is post-dog chow. That's the work. But
Post-dog
anyway,
chow. What do you mean? I don't get it.
Dog,
what am I
dog
missing?
Mess.
Oh, I get you. That's what Cyrus was worried about. He was talking about that.
Yeah, well, you know, it is what it is. We love our dogs, but it's not free.
That's true.
Okay, so
cause and effect, in other words.
Here's my thing, okay? Excuse me. I am 62. I am a very recent convert. Last Easter's a couple weeks ago, I received my sacrament, and that was great. And I was a very dyed-in-the-wool Sola Scriptura Protestant, and when I found out Sola Scriptura was a heresy, it was like getting slapped in the face and punched in the gut, but I got over it. So here's my experience. I quickly went into my old ways, and I needed confession, you know, shortly after First Communion. So I went to a little church. They had 7:30 Mass, 8 o'clock confession, and I knew I was in a state of mortal sin.
Okay.
And so during the liturgy, the priest brings out the gifts, and I saw them, and boy, I'll tell you, my just heart dropped into my shoes. It was an awful feeling because I knew for that second I was separated from God. And that was like a small little glimpse of hell, because that's what hell is. And so I want to tell any Catholics that, you know, that don't believe in the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist, that, well, I know that he is truly present, because that was a sensation that I hope to never experience again, because he truly is present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. And man, if I believe, you believe. And that's what I wanted to tell you. And I do have a few other questions for you, but that's what I wanted to say. And
I'll tell you what, in honor of your recent entry into the Catholic Church, by the way, welcome home, Sam. So happy that you're home.
Yes, thank you. That's how I feel.
That's great. Well, we all are applauding you and praising God for his grace in your life. So in honor of all that, we'll hold you over the break, and then we could pick up a couple of those questions on the other side. But I would like to make an observation, if I may, kind of building on what you just said. When you're in, and by you I mean everybody, when you are in mortal sin, it is helpful to remember that Jesus told Peter, I tell you, before the cock crows three times, you will have denied me three times. And of course, Peter's like, no way, no way that's ever going to happen, Lord. I'm gonna take care of everything before the cock crows twice. In other words, and sure enough, as you know, Peter denied Jesus three times. And as I read Mark chapter 14, which is what I was thinking about what you just said, beginning of verse 71, but he, Peter, began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. That's falling into mortal sin. In other words, saying, I'm going to deny the Lord for the sake of this thing that I want to do that I know is sinful. And then you proceed to do it. Verse 72, and immediately the cock crowed a second time, and Peter remembered how Jesus said to him, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. And he broke down and wept. And that, to me, is emblematic of what you're describing, Sam. In other words, we've all been in that situation. And when you saw those gifts of bread and wine being brought up before the offertory, where they would become the body and blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus, didn't you sort of even just interiorly weep a little bit, realizing that you were not able to go and receive Jesus, kind of like that?
Yes. It was grief. It was anxiety. It was an awful feeling. It was horrible. And I felt so bad because I was so recently received the sacrament. I mean, this was a matter of days.
Yeah.
And straight into my old ways, and I had.
We'll talk about that. Yeah, we'll talk. I'd like to talk about that and whatever else is on your mind, Sam. We'll do that on the other side of this quick timeout. So let's do that, and then we'll come back to you. Anyone else you want to get on the line with me, call me at 888-914-9149. I have a question coming up here asking me, what does it mean to honor your spouse, honor your wife, honor your husband? I have some thoughts on that. We'll get to that and a whole lot more, including Sam's questions, right after this. Thanks to network sponsor PushPay. PushPay offers parishes a platform for tracking donations and sacraments, overseeing schedules, mobile apps to help manage your administrative load, and much more. Info at relevantradio.com/pushpay. That's relevantradio.com/pushpay. To be lonely to talk to me, and I'd love to talk to you. Call me at 888-914-9149.
That's 888-914-9149.
Let's talk. Ooh, I like that, Cyrus.
Yeah, that one worked out very nicely.
Well, it almost sounds like the Beatles.
It almost, we're just four guys.
That's all. Well, thanks for that. That sounds really good. I like that one. That's a keeper.
Thank you, sir.
888-914-9149. As promised, we'll go back to Sam in Arizona. Good morning, Sam. And you
good morning.
Brand new to the church, and we talked a little bit before the break, and then we said that you, or I said that you could ask a couple questions. We'll do that now, I guess.
Okay, so still within myself, you know, Protestantism is a very hard not habit, but way of life to break. Mm-hmm. And so I'm having trouble with the rosary and adoration. I want to go to adoration, but I hear people say, you know, if you go to adoration, if you pray the rosary every day, great things happen to me. And you go to adoration, great things have happened to me. But I don't want these things and to be about me. Because it shouldn't be, and I'm trying to work on not being so self-focused, because an Orthodox priest said one thing to me that really opened my eyes. He goes, the liturgy is not about us, and that's just like, oh, okay. And so I don't want the rosary to be about me, and I don't want the adoration to be about me. And, you know, all these things that Catholics do, you know, my wife's a lifelong Catholic and she's, you know, wonderful, but boy, my head is spinning. And like with divine liturgy and seemingly esoteric things like that, well, it's like I'm not there yet. And so I wanted to get your comments on that.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. It's a good question. I don't know that I would agree with that Orthodox priest entirely. I think part of what he said is true. It's about giving glory and honor to God, praising God, thanking God, all of those things. That's true. But when you think about it theologically, God doesn't need any of those things. It's not as, I mean, we owe a debt in justice to God and one in charity. But strictly speaking, God does not benefit from or derive something more than what he already has by our praise and glory to him. So I would temper that comment simply by saying it is for both. I mean, it's to give glory and honor to God, to worship him in spirit and truth, etc., to obey what Jesus said, do this in memory of me. All of those things are true, but it's also for us because this is how we grow in Christian maturity. This is how we become more conformed to Jesus. By receiving him in Holy Communion, by praying, by joining together as the body of Christ. So, you know, with no disrespect intended to that Orthodox priest, I think he's right on that one point, but he's missing the profound ways in which Jesus established the sacrament for us. Food for the journey, in other words. So I just want to add that little footnote to that discussion.
Okay.
Maybe you'll find it helpful.
Yes,
I don't
thanks.
Know.
Yes, you're right. I do. Thanks.
Yeah. So with regard to Eucharistic adoration and the rosary, remember this. Jesus said, ask the Father for what you need. So we have a really a standing command that we are to petition the Lord for the things that we need, or the things we think we need. Not everything that we think we need do we really need, obviously. But Jesus says that the Father delights in this. That he says he already knows what you want and what you need, but he delights in, he wants you to ask him. And so that sort of childlike approach to the Lord in saying, Lord, here's what I really want, here's what I really need, and your will be done, is a beautiful thing, and it has power, not because we change God's mind, but because in his divine providence, certain things that he wills to happen for you don't happen unless you ask him for them. It's not as though you're changing his mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, okay, Sam, if you put it that way, well, I guess, you know, it's not like
right.
that. Okay.
Okay.
So when it comes to devotions like the rosary and adoration, my thought would be, just remember that Jesus said to pray for the things that you want, and that is for you. You can pray the prayers of intercession for other people. You can pray prayers. Pray. She sells seashells by the seashore. That's easier for me to say than this sentence. You can pray prayers of repentance. Obviously, you've done that. You can pray prayers of praise and glory. So whether you're interceding or repenting or glorifying God, all of those are the right ways to pray at any given time. And some of it is for you. Lord, help me love you more. That's for you. Lord, help me pray better. That's for you. Lord, give me the grace to overcome my weaknesses. That's for you. So my point is simply, don't be afraid, or don't be put off, or don't hesitate to ask the Lord for things for you, because he already said to do that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Am I scratching the itch? Because I don't want to, you know, not answer your question. Is this getting to the heart of your question?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I think that I don't want to, like, go to adoration and, you know, tell our Lord, you know, thank you, I love you, we're family. You know, I don't want it to be, what have you done for me lately? And, you know, it's hard to not this have this be self-serving. I don't want that. You know, I think that great gifts come when we obey and we do what we're supposed to do, glorifying God. And I was wondering, you know, is that happen? I just don't want it to be about me.
Part of it, well, Jesus said part of it must be about you. So don't ignore what the Lord
said.
You're right.
Okay. You're right.
And remember,
go ahead.
Well, I just want to add one other thing, and then I'll throw it back to you. Don't forget, God is not your master. You're not his slave in that sense of the word master. You're not his slave. You're his son. And he loves you, and he wants you to relate to him as his son, because you are, through the waters of baptism and through reception of the sacraments.
Yeah.
You are the adopted son of the Father. And so you have a right to approach your Father and ask him for the things that you need, and he wants you to do that. So lest you ever feel like you're just a slave, you know, and that God doesn't really care about you one way or the other, you're just there to do his bidding. Of course, that's not how Jesus revealed the Father, right?
True.
So as a son, you have duties, you have responsibilities, you have things that you're called to do as a son, but you also have rights and privileges, which include asking God for the things that you need and that you want. And maybe what you want is not exactly what you need. I'm here to tell you.
True.
But maybe try that.
Yeah,
try thinking about it that way.
I will. Thank you, because that helps me a lot, because, you know, I'm kind of, this is all, even though I've been around Catholics. I've gone to Catholic school almost all my life, and my wife and her family's all Catholic and everything. Still, you know, it's all so new to me, and there's so much to do and learn, and I'm kind of getting lost in all that a little bit, I think.
Sam, I have an idea. I'd like to help if I can. I wrote a book called Now What? A Guide for New and Not So New Catholics.
That
really, I wrote it for you. So if you want, and if you just stand by, young Thomas will pick up with you. So don't hang up, in other words. And he'll get your whatever info you want to give him by way of where I should send you a copy. I'd love to sign a copy and send it to you as my welcome gift.
Thank you. That's kind of you.
Okay. So I'll take care of that for you. No strings attached, no salesman will call, but I think it will help give you a little bit of direction, like, you know, where do I go from here?
All right. Thank you so much. And your comments have helped me a lot, really kind of aim me a little bit more, because I was just so pretty scattered. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I appreciate you taking my call.
You're welcome, Sam. Thanks. And, of course, I'm just passing on things that I've learned from other people. So we can all help each other, right? So young Thomas, pick up with Sam, please, and we will get him sorted, and I will send you that book, Sam. Thank you. We'll go now to Melody, and Melody's in Wisconsin. Good morning, Melody.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for being there, being who you are. I'm a longtime listener. I've listened to you, very, very regularly for about 10 years.
Wow.
And
thank you.
I'm an evangelical Protestant. Who is just, I'll just say that. And I have a question about the Eucharist. I've read your book, Surprised by Truth, and I have believed for a long time that Jesus is really present in the Eucharist, in communion. So my question is, Patrick, if Jesus said, this is my body, this is my blood, why does it require a priest to change it into the body and blood, change the elements into the body and blood? Because when I take communion in my church, I really believe that I am participating in the body and blood of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Well, if I can use a different kind of analogy, you're familiar with religions like Mormonism, for example, right?
A little bit.
Okay. And in all of my many years of interaction with Mormon folk, I've always come away impressed by how respectful and how friendly they tend to be, and certainly deeply sincere in their beliefs, at least the ones that I've had the pleasure to get to know. They believe things that I would say are patently not true. For example, that you can become a god in the afterlife. They call that exaltation. Now, I'm not going to give you a treatise on Mormonism. I know that's not what you're looking for. But they go to the temple, they have proxy baptisms on behalf of those who have died, they have endowment ceremonies, both for themselves and for those who have died. They are very sincere, and they really truly believe that these ordinances are having some kind of spiritual effect, but they're not. And so I would propose, this is a different way of looking at the question, just because someone is deeply sincere and truly convinced that something is so doesn't make it so. And in a way, it's almost like a reverse image of what you're talking about. The belief in the Holy Eucharist among Christians, going back to the time of the apostles, was always predicated upon what Jesus did at the Last Supper by ordaining the apostles to be priests so that they can do what he said to do, you know, do this in memory of me. And if we only had recourse to the sacred text, what it says about the Last Supper, there'd be plenty of room for different interpretations. And, you know, well, maybe he didn't mean that just the apostles could do this. Maybe he meant that everybody could do it. That wouldn't be unreasonable, I don't think, you know, if you look at the passages to say, well, maybe that's what Jesus meant. Or maybe it's what those Catholics say, or maybe it's some third option or something like that. I think reasonable people could arrive at reasonable, different understandings of what those words mean. But the skeleton key that helps us unlock this mystery is what's called, and you know this already, but it's called apostolic tradition. In other words, how did the apostles understand what Jesus said in the upper room? They were there, of course. They saw him. They saw his body language. They, you know, every nuance that could be present, they could see and understand that. And so we can then ask ourselves, well, how did they understand it? What did they think that meant? And the first link in what we could think of as the chain of apostolic tradition, receiving, as St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, for what I received from the Lord, I handed on to you, that language of tradition. So they handed on to their disciples the understanding, and this was universal, not like one here or one there, but all of them, and their, more importantly, perhaps, their disciples, those who learned the gospel from the apostles, they universally understood that Jesus ordained them to be priests so that they could do this. And everyone else, the vast majority of all other Christians, of course, are lay people, that in order to receive the Holy Eucharist, it had to be confected, that's a technical theological term, by the priest at Mass. So I would offer that for your consideration, Melody. In other words, the testimony of the early church was universal and consistent on this issue, that it wasn't that Jesus didn't mean that everybody could do this, but he meant that the priests do this and then feed the people. Like Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. There's a ministry, a role of feeding through the word, through preaching, through the sacraments, through the Eucharist. So that's what I would propose. Maybe if you do a bit of investigation, one book that I like to recommend is called The Hidden Manna by Father James T. O'Connor. And he looks at all the biblical information. He looks at the early church testimony. He looks at the Reformation and the different views of the Eucharist in that area. But that might be a book that will help solidify in your mind, at least, what did these early Christians believe about whether or not everybody could just create the Eucharist for themselves or if it needed to come from the priests. You see what I mean?
I do understand what you said. I just think that Jesus wanted to be present in for all of his believers, for all of those who accept him as Savior. And I know that's my evangelical upbringing, and I don't believe I could ever become a Catholic, but mm-hmm. I always feel a little bit sad when I hear you say that only a Catholic can receive the body and blood, because I think Jesus said, this is my body, this is my mm-hmm. blood. And so I take it so seriously, and I thank him for it. When I'm taking communion, I thank him for his body and blood that he sacrificed for me. I listen to you all the time, and I yeah. search through what you say, and I sometimes go back and listen to the podcast, but I don't ever see myself changing. I just couldn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, the old saying may be true, never say never. I really take to heart what you're saying, Melody. It means a great deal to me personally that you listen and you think about it. I mean, you're clearly
thinking about it
and praying about it. Boy, I'm grateful to you for that.
Thank you.
But you could become Catholic if maybe a few more pieces fell into place. And who knows, there may be other extenuating issues that would need to be dealt with. Maybe Catholics have scandalized you by their bad behavior, or who knows? Nope. Anything's possible.
Not that. Mm-hmm. I'm just not. I'm married to a evangelical pastor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can understand the difficulty there. Well, one thing to think about is what the Lord said. He says, I have come to give you life abundantly.
Have it more abundantly, right?
Yeah, more abundantly.
I know the word, yeah.
Yeah, John 10:10.
We study it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. So my only thought would be this. I'm not trying to cajole you into anything or, you
know,
try to.
I know.
But what I would suggest would be, as you ponder that passage, John 10:10, Lord, if the true abundance that you're describing goes beyond the communion that I take at the evangelical church that I go to, if you've provided something more abundant than that, help me to be willing to receive it. And of course, he will. And I think that's where this process ultimately will have to play out, Melody, is that as you are in prayer with the Lord and just say to him, I don't believe, based on everything I've heard, especially that guy on the radio, he hasn't convinced me yet, but from everything I can tell, what I have at my evangelical church is the fullness of what you came to give us, Lord. But if I'm wrong, and there is something more abundant than this, I want it. And I ask you to show me how I can receive this, because I know you want it for me. You want me to have this in abundance. And Lord, if that's your will for me, show me how. And he will.
Yeah, I've prayed that prayer.
I believe you.
Many, many times.
I believe you, Melody. I wish I could walk with you on this journey. I guess I can, right? We can walk together on the radio. Can't we?
Well, I listen to you all the time, so thank you for all your right. time.
You're welcome, Melody. Thank you. What a beautiful call. I'll be right back. Today, we'd like to thank Rosario, who is listening in New Mexico, for donating her 2014 Fiat 500. Classy. You can join thousands of other listeners in donating old vehicles, trucks, boats, and RVs by visiting relevantradio.com/car. That's relevantradio.com/car.
Get connected to the conversation. Call now, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on now. Relevant Radio.
Okay, we are back. 888-914-9149. You can call that number now. We'll get you on the air. Let's go to Mary in, of all places, Maryland. Good morning, Mary. Welcome.
Hi. Calling about my marriage. Okay. Hi. Calling about my marriage. Struggling with it for many, many years, and I went to my parish priest to talk about it, and he just basically told me that I needed to go to a counselor, that he couldn't help me, which is fine. And I was able to get my husband to go, which in the past he was resistant to.
Okay.
And he just sat there, didn't say a whole lot. He basically just sits all day watching TV, and I can't engage him in anything. He doesn't seem to have any respect for anything, almost not even himself. Going to counseling did help with him cutting back on his drinking. I'm just at a loss. I've been praying. I go to confession to ask for forgiveness for whatever it is I may be doing wrong in my marriage. I am going to a healing mass on Friday, hoping that my faith is strong enough that I can get something there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm saying the wrong prayers. I don't know if I'm asking the wrong thing of God. I do sometimes get messages that tell me to hang on, but I'm just so frustrated. I don't know how much more I can do. And, I just can't seem to get him to, to listen to me, but maybe it's because I ramble. So
I don't think that's the reason why. I'm very sorry to hear that this is happening, Mary. First of all, I'm sorry you're going through this. You're welcome. May I ask you a couple of questions that will help me understand the situation a little better?
Certainly.
Okay. And I won't be nosy, but just a few things that will help me understand. So how long have the two of you been married? And let's start there. Any children? How long have you been married?
It'll be 40 years in June, and we have two adult daughters who are both married.
Okay. And when your kids were still at home, was he not like this then? Was he busy and active and taking care of things? Or has he always been like this?
Yeah, he's always been like this. It's something that I just really realized not too long ago.
Mm-hmm. So even when you were not newlyweds per se, but when you were young married folk and you had little kids, he would just sit in the chair and veg?
Pretty much, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would have to ask him sometimes over and over again to help. And oftentimes his reply is, okay, I'll get to it. And then he still does that. He doesn't get to it. And then, of course, my anger begins. And I get so frustrated with myself because of my anger and my resentments. And I keep giving that to God and I keep confessing it. And I don't know how much longer, you know, God's going to keep forgiving me for being angry and resentful.
I don't think you are. I mean, who am I to say this, but my impression based on what you're saying is that you're not the one at fault here. You're dealing with a crazy, impossible situation where all of the burden is on your shoulders and he's not lifting a finger to help you, and you have natural human emotions and reactions to this that any normal person would feel. So, I mean, it's a beautiful thing if you do perceive that you are at fault for something and you ask God for forgiveness. But it sounds like this whole situation is so stacked against you that you're not the problem. He is, by his lack of action, he's apathetic. Now, has he ever gone to be, I don't know, to have a discussion with a psychologist or somebody who might be able to diagnose him whether or not he is clinically depressed?
Yeah, he won't do that. It took years for me to even, I got to the point where I told him just recently, we need to do something because I'm at the end. So we did go to counseling, but it didn't, he didn't really participate that much. And we ended up ceasing because it just wasn't doing anything. Okay. It wasn't going anywhere.
He wouldn't cooperate. He wouldn't get involved.
He wouldn't engage. Okay. No, he didn't say a whole lot. He just left it up for me.
Now, he's an alcoholic by all appearances.
Yes.
Okay.
He doesn't think so, but yes.
Mm-hmm. That's sort of the standard response. I can quit anytime I want to, and I don't have a problem. You have a problem, kind of thing. Well, do you know anybody in your parish who's in AA, for example, who might be able to encourage him to go to a meeting? Have you thought about that, maybe?
Our church does have an AA meeting on Mondays, and I do attend Al-Anon, which has been very helpful and beneficial.
Okay.
But because he doesn't think that he has a problem, I'm not so sure that
that he'd be willing to do that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, so that leads me to the next point. You don't have children at home. He's just a lump. He doesn't do anything. He just sits in front of the TV and drinks his days away. You're at your breaking point. You've tried everything. You've been to counseling, and he's just not willing to do anything because he just is not willing to, right?
When we went to counseling, he did start to do some things, but it was temporary. And now I'm back to like being his mother. You know, would you please put the dishes away? Would you please, you know, do this? And I don't know if that's the way it's supposed to be. I'm trying.
It's not.
I'm here to tell you
it's not supposed to be that way.
I don't want to, you know, you had mentioned blame or whatever, and I don't want to blame him. I know it's a two-way street. I totally understand that and get that. I just want some cooperation. You know?
I don't agree with that. If I may disagree with you gently, Mary. Here's why I don't agree with that. Because, I mean, objectively, he's doing something that's causing the problem. And now you can speculate, well, what would it be like? What would our marriage be like if he weren't this way? What faults might I bring into the picture? But that's just speculation. What you know for sure is that he's doing this. Oh, boy, there's the music. Can we talk in a couple of minutes, Mary? Can you hold?
Sure, I can.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, stand by, and I'll come right back to you right after this quick timeout. You're listening to The Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Do you know somebody who's in a difficult marriage like Mary's? Text that person right now or call them and tell them to tune into the program. I'll be right back.